Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
I've been to Ireland 3 times, and if you told me that I could go back today, I'd go in a heartbeat. Our next guest is from there and shares Ireland with all the world in this beautiful National Geographic book called Always Ireland, an insider's tour of the Emerald Isle. Jack Cavanaugh online with us right now. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Paul. Lovely to be with you.
And you as well, and I appreciate this book so much. It's such a comprehensive and beautiful guide to such a beautiful country.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What made you want to share this with the world?
Well, I've an interesting backstory because I spent half my life in Ireland and I've spent half my life in the States. I've worked for Nat Geo since 2001, I think. So I lead tours for National Geographic Expeditions now. So I bring mainly American tourists around Ireland and show them the country. And it's something I've really, really appreciated, really enjoyed, to see Ireland from their point of view. People visiting for the first time in particular is quite eye-opening. You take so much for granted growing up there, you know, the beauty of the scenery, the fun, the people, that to see it in a whole new light. So when the opportunity came to do the book, of course, I jumped at it. It was I got to travel around Ireland for a year, knocking on people's doors, talking to people, and that's what I tell people about Ireland. There's lovely scenery, there's great things to do, but the real treasure of Ireland to me is the people, is the, you know, to spend time with the people, to listen to them. Irish people are great talkers, as you know. We talk all day, so it's a great place just to go and to be with people.
It is. The advice I got before I went for the first time was get out of Dublin and see the rest of Ireland. What's your advice for a first-time traveler to Ireland?
Well, I know what you mean, because Dublin is Dublin. It's a great place to be. It's great fun. I spent a lot of my youth there. But it's like any other big city, of course. You know, you do those things. But the real Irishness of Ireland is probably found in the west of Ireland. If you go down to places like Clare, there's a little tiny village called Doolan in Clare. I don't know if you got there, Paul, when you were there. It's the home of Irish music.
Mm-hmm.
And Doolan is just this tiny little village on the west coast, blown by the wild Atlantic winds, but it's got 4 pubs, and on any given night, those 4 pubs will be a swirl with Irish music, with traditional Irish music, and there'll be a session going on where you can just bring your own guitar, and if you ask nicely, they'll let you join in, or flute, or whatever you play. It's magical. And places like Galway as well. Galway is the real heartland of Ireland in terms of culture, in terms of Irish language being spoken. It's in the on the verge of the Gaeltacht, which is the Irish speaking region of Connemara. It's got the Aran Islands there, of course, which are now famous from the Banshees of Inishearan.
Yes.
It is good advice. Get out, travel around, be on the road, talk to people, you know, really soak up the whole culture of Ireland, because Ireland has so many different parts. It's got 32 different counties and 32 different accents even, so it's a very rich place to visit.
It absolutely is. The music is spectacular. You talk about the pubs and the sessions in the pubs. What struck me, Jack, was that young people who you would expect would be playing, rock and roll music, and some of them do, of course. I mean, it's not that it's not done, but they all know the traditional Irish songs. They grow up in it, and they know it, and they still love and revere it, don't they?
They do. It's a tradition that's handed down. But that what's wonderful about Ireland, if you're a music lover, and I certainly am, and it sounds like you are too, mm-hmm. but it's so varied, you know. You can go to Dublin. I look forward to going to Dublin because we go out a lot. We're into rock and roll. And you'll see a new band. A few years ago, it was a group called Fontaines DC, who are a kind of post-punk band, which I love because they actually sing in Dublin accents. They don't try and disguise their accents, which I think is great. But, you know, you'll be at a rock gig one night in Dublin, then the next night, as I say, you could be down in Kerry somewhere, and you go into Dick Mac's pub in Dingle or somewhere like that, and it'll be this wild session of harps and fiddles and barrons, which is the handheld goatskin drum. I don't know if you saw it when you were there. You could go up the road in another pub and there'd be a country music singer. Yeah. And the Irish people love country music because I kind of think it came from Ireland and Scotland through all the immigration in the, you know, from the 1840s onwards. We went abroad and we brought our harps and fiddles with us and settled in places like West Virginia, and that became bluegrass and that became country and western. And Paddy Maloney of the Chieftains, actually, I say this in the book, he felt very at home in Nashville. He said it was like just been walking into another part of Ireland, you know, because it was the same music.
That's a great observation. That's really interesting. We're talking with Jack Cavanaugh. His National Geographic book is Always Ireland, an insider's tour of the Emerald Isle. You've taken groups on tours of Ireland. What surprises your groups the most when they visit your home country?
That's a very good question. One of the things that always comes out is how the Irish people love satire. Satire used to be, it came from a gypsy's curse originally. It was a way of mocking people, you know. But through people like Jonathan Swift, who wrote these great satirical novels like Gulliver's Travels and that, from that onwards, there's been a real strong tradition. Basically what it is, it's a way of kind of undermining authority, you know, because we were colonized, of course, for years. So by satirizing people, you could poke fun at them and bring them down a peg or two without being too direct. So the Irish people have this very indirect way of communication and way of culture, and everything is kind of subliminal and subversive, because it had to be, because, you know, the Irish music was banned, the Irish language was banned in the 1700s, the penal laws. So it kind of went underground, and we still have that thing of, we don't distrust people in authority, shall we say, and satire is our way of getting to people. And in day-to-day life, it comes out in the form of what we call slagging. And slagging is just gently undercutting people in a fun, fond kind of way, you know. But when I explain this to my groups, they really take to it. And a lot of them kind of associate. And say, I've always liked doing that, you know. And they'll start getting into that rhythm of speech of, you know, gently mocking people who they love. It's just a way of communicating, a way of having fun, really, you know. But it always surprises me how quickly a lot of Americans take to satire and slagging, as we call it, you know.
There is so much fun to be had there, no doubt about it. What is one-of-a-kind of experience, whether it's a hidden pub or somewhere that would be maybe at the top of your list, something that everybody who visits Ireland should do?
Well, there's so many things to do. Like in every chapter of this book, there's something special. But off the top of my head, I'd say if you get a chance to go out to the Skellig Islands off Kerry, the Skellig Islands are basically just two huge rocks thrust out of the Atlantic Ocean. They're sandstone rocks, and there's not a lot else on the islands except rocks. They're UNESCO World Heritage Sites because in the 6th century they became monastic settlements. So because of very rich history. It's hard to get out there. The boats are often cancelled with the weather and that. But they've become very popular in recent times because they were actually used as settings for two of the Star Wars movies. So that's a typically Irish story of kind of reinvention. You go from the 6th century monastic medieval site to, you know, the futuristic Star Wars, a different planet. It's all storytelling. It's all a way of doing that. But they're really special places to visit, even if you just go out on a boat and drive by, because part of the Skellig's challenge is that the monks made these stairway right up to the top of them, and it's over 1,000 steps, and there's no railings. So if you take a misstep, that's the end of story. So not everyone should go there, but everyone should see it. You know, you can go on a boat and just kind of drive past it if you like. That's something I'd say once-in-a-lifetime thing. Go and see that, you know. As for hidden pubs, I'd recommend the Hole in the Wall in Kilkenny. It's a marvelous little place. Kilkenny is this medieval town. I don't know. Did you go there, Paul, on your tour?
Yes, I love Kilkenny.
So you know Kilkenny. Mm-hmm. It's a labyrinth of little laneways and hidden places. And if you can find it, if you get a local to bring you there, you go down all these little laneways and you come to a little alley, and at the back of the alley you go into a doorway, and there's only one way into the Hole in the Wall pub, which which is literally the size of somebody's kitchen. But it does have a courtyard at the back, and in the courtyard was the famous hole in the wall. And the barman, whoever he is or she is at the time you visit, will tell you these great stories up there. But it was basically where, I suppose, a lot of civil servants from Kilkenny Castle, when it was they were ruling Munster, the butlers, they used to go there to get up to no good, I suppose, to be filled with divilment. But if their bosses came in, there was no way out because there was only one entrance, so they would disappear through the hole in the wall if they didn't want to be seen there.
That's fantastic.
And that's the story. But it's a magical place to spend an afternoon. It's great fun.
It sounds absolutely magical indeed. Jax, thanks so much for your time this morning. It's a beautiful book, and we could talk about all this all day. I appreciate it very much.
Sure. Lovely to be with you, Paul. Thank
Take
you.
Care.